really had the stones to come out
naked outside the ring.
I was a kid. I was traumatized.
My God, I've never seen anything like this in my life.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for inviting us inside your headphones today. Broadcasting to 165 countries around the world with one big podcast. Welcome, everybody!
Pretty intense.
Yes, welcome everybody to Triple M's Top Rope. My name is Andrew Rose. With me, the baby face, David Nash. How are you, Nashy?
Hey, I'm well. I'm exhausted. It was a super weekend of wrestling, wasn't it?
Far out. I tell you what, I'm out sports entertained, man. I am so wrestled out. Chris Gale, our noble third, not with us for this episode. He's off in Croatia on a boat somewhere having a doof rave or something.
I thought that was a flashback photo.
No,
is he really not coming?
That's legitimately where he is. You remember how you went to Download Festival? He's gone to his. It's a boat in Croatia where he listens to house music. That's his happy place. My happy place was the weekend that just happened in professional wrestling, man. This is one super-duper weekend of wrestling that we just saw, right, Nashy?
SummerSlam, which I'm sure in one of the countries that love to download this podcast would translate to Hot Wrestle.
Or Summerfest, as Jeremy Piven once called it on live television.
Great Hot work. Wrestle was good.
Hot Wrestle. Yeah, it was a this whole weekend, there was so much wrestling going on for so many different companies. You know, like it happens in WWE, those big events like WrestleMania and stuff, everyone kind of groups together for that weekend because it's a must-see time for wrestling. And there was so much to go through. We got to start with SummerSlam. Like, SummerSlam was the biggest event of the whole thing.
Hot Wrestle.
Hot Wrestle Fest. And the first thing I want to say, because I want to do a bit of a past, present, and future here of wrestling, because we saw it all this weekend. And the past definitely shone at SummerSlam with some of the greats returning for matches. Goldberg against Dolph Ziggler, I thought was awesome.
Spear, followed by spear, followed by spear.
But that's what you want from Goldberg, right? You just want him to come out and crush. Like, we all understand that he took a knock in Saudi Arabia against Undertaker, and credit to him. He said, I want to get back on the horse. I don't want to end my career that way. I want to have another match. And who better to go against than Dolph Ziggler? Like, he's one of the best workers in history.
Goldberg is the chef's special. You don't want a conversation. You don't want to read the rest of the menu.
No.
You want to sit down. You want to get exactly what is on offer.
Exactly. Give me what the thing everyone's talking about. I want to see it now. And how good's Dolph Ziggler's new character is essentially that knight from Monty Python with no arms and no legs going, come back and fight me. You know, you're not one yet. He just kept goading Goldberg back. But I thought it was a great return. And the other good one was Trish Stratus, right, against Charlotte Flair.
Aging backwards, my goodness.
Oh my God, she's like Benjamin Button of wrestling. She looks younger and fitter than she ever did. They had one of the best matches of the show.
The Matt Sorum of music, Guns N' Roses, their former drummer, ages backwards too.
Oh, does he? He's a freak like that. You were a big Trish Stratus guy, right?
She was my favorite diva. So if you can picture the school books and the school planners,
sure.
And then you get the wrestling magazines and you cut her out and you stick her on the books.
Yeah.
Not old enough to get an erection, well, you know, properly.
Or understand what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, or understand why it happens.
What's happening to me? Look, I got to be honest. I kind of missed the Trish era. Like, I've seen the footage and I've seen the flashbacks, but on a personal connection to wrestling, I missed it a little bit.
The cool thing about Trish is she was one of the rare female wrestlers who entered the business as either a manager or as someone to look good. But then she transitioned. I know a lot of them are doing it now, but usually in that era, they came in as a wrestler and did well, or they came in as a manager, they came in as a spokesperson, and they usually stayed within that field.
Within that realm,
Trish Stratus.
Yeah, she broke down the doors. That's really interesting you say that, Nashy, because it adds another layer to that match. Because Charlotte Flair is the epitome of the modern female wrestler.
Yeah.
She's come through the bloodline of Ric Flair. She's had every opportunity to have main event matches and change the history of women's wrestling. Trish had to do that without anyone wanting to work with her.
My mum used to call her Trish the Dish. And I didn't know what that meant, but I used to say in response, I'll lick her. Again, I don't know what that meant, but...
Well, I was excited to see Trish. I don't think she'll wrestle. I think this was a one and done, right? This felt like Trish was just I'm going to have a match. If I'm going to do it, it's against Charlotte Flair. Thanks very much.
In her hometown, I think she's Toronto.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, well, there was a Toronto theme. I really liked the Toronto theme of the whole weekend. I thought Canadians are good-willed people, and off the back of the Toronto Raptors winning the NBA.
Not enough live Raptors.
No. They're really hard to wrangle, apparently, especially into small stadiums. But, yeah, the Toronto Raptors thing kind of carried over to the biggest cheer of SummerSlam. Besides, of course, and look, I know everyone is dying right now to hear us talk about The Fiend. And we are so excited to talk about it. We want to do a whole look into that entire thing because it is so interesting. So stick around for the Fiend talk that we're going to have.
We're doing Fiend talk.
Oh, we're going deep in The Fiend. Let us in because we're going to show you it all. But the Canadian thing was never hotter than it was for Kevin Owens. Did you hear the reaction Kevin Owens got from a Canadian crowd? It was huge.
Not even from Toronto. He's from Montreal, which is across the road.
Well, Winnipeg, you idiot. That's the old Chris Jericho line. But look, Stone Cold, Kevin Owens, as they're now calling him, he's going in that trajectory of a Stone Cold as a rebellious, rebelling against Shane now, the son, instead of Vince. It's kind of a multi, you know, dimensional thing going on. Are you enjoying this Kevin Owens as a renegade?
I'm not.
Okay.
But then I remember the guys who were first discovering wrestling.
Mm.
I'm gonna create a fictional person named Gilbert.
Okay, Gilbert.
He's 9 years old.
Oh, look at him.
He just got sent to detention yesterday.
Oh, naughty Gilbert.
He threw a ruler at Sarah or
sure.
whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And Shane McMahon is Mr. Albatron, right?
Yes.
So Gilbert, who's now discovering wrestling, gets to discover his Stone Cold. So while for me it feels a little bit like a recycled gimmick, for Gilbert and Sarah and Mr. Albatron, this is fresh for them, and I got to remember that, and I think it's going to be really cool.
I feel you, but I think what's really interesting about it is they're kind of passing a lot of torches recently. Because we see Kevin Owens now doing the Stone Cold Stunner as his finisher. He had a shirt today on SmackDown that said Stun Owens Stun. So, like, they're getting into this whole idea. And the fact that Stone Cold is encouraging him to use that finisher. Use it, my son.
Andrade beating Rey Mysterio in consecutive falls in a 2 out of 3.
Mm.
If that's not passing some...
Yes.
Torch.
Yes, exactly. And we'll get onto The Fiend. We saw what he did as his finisher, which is a nod to Mankind back in the day with the mandible claw. We'll dig into all that a little bit later. But I just thought Kevin Owens was so over with that Canadian crowd, and we'll see how it goes. Something they didn't like, though, was the Kofi Kingston-Randy Orton match, the double countout for a title. Seems a lot of fans were really cranky about that.
No one likes a double countout. Nobody likes a draw.
No. But
that's why we invented overtime.
That's true.
But that's why in the AFL, the AFL have brought in overtime because of how outraged everybody was when they last had a tied grand final.
Right.
We had to reschedule plans for the following week.
That's true. Yeah, they did. In wrestling, that's a good thing, having to reschedule the match. That means you can have 3 more matches over the next 3 months. But it would be interesting to have a golden point in professional wrestling.
How would that work?
I don't know. I think they each have to have an arm tied behind their back or something, and you lose a limb every 5 minutes.
Someone's writing down, someone's noting every grapple that someone has, so they raise the hand at the end of the golden point, the end of the overtime. Randy Orton wins with 17 grapples.
Oh, I'd like to see the ring just get smaller and smaller as we get into overtime until it's just tiny and they're both just punching each other in the face in a tiny little ring. Well, I mean, I really enjoyed this year's SummerSlam, you know, the Brock Lesnar main event getting beaten by Seth Rollins with the broken ribs. I thought it was a really fun SummerSlam all round. What do you agree, Nashie?
We have a champion that is going to be on every show.
Oh, that's just good, no matter who it is, right? To have the belt on TV. Some kids don't even know what that belt is. It hasn't been on TV. For the poor little Gilbert, doesn't even know what the Universal Championship looks like.
You wait till Sarah starts watching.
Oh, Sarah. So some other things I wanted to talk about. There was some really strong past there in the SummerSlam. I want to talk about the present a little bit because the other big event that was going on this weekend besides SummerSlam was the New Japan G1 tournament. That's been going on for the last month, the most prestigious tournament in the world, and they had their final on Monday night, the day following SummerSlam. And Kota Ibushi is the big Japanese star that everyone loves, the young guy, pretty guy. He kind of looks like you, Nashie. Handsome, so much talent. He's ripped. He's ready to go. And then we've got Jay White.
You missed funny.
Sorry, he is quite funny. We remember him as the tag team with Kenny Omega, as the Golden Lovers. They were best friends, Kenny and Kota. And he went up against Jay White, a New Zealander who's become a huge wrestling star in Japan, has never touched WWE. It's just a young guy who's been trained up in Japan. He's a top star. They hate him in Japan. Oh my God, the Japanese people hate this New Zealander. They just cannot stop booing him.
What's he doing to get such heat?
Well, you got to remember, this is Japan, right? So it's reversed. The guys from in WWE, the guys from the West, the Americans are the good guys and the foreigners the baddies. But in Japan, it's the other way around. The Japanese dudes are the goodies. Here comes some foreigner beating up our beloved Kota Ibushi. He's going to get booed, right? It's interesting how it's reversed like that.
And a shout out to Australian wrestler Adam Brooksy Brooks. He's got this. He's got the grey colour through the hair at the moment.
Yeah.
He's doing a bit of a Kenny Omega thing.
Oh, okay. Getting the aged look. I like that. Do you remember Hideo Itami from WWE? Do you remember that little Japanese dude?
He was good.
He was very, very good. But he was known as Kenta before that. He returned to New Japan and joined the Bullet Club. Another Japanese guy joining the Bullet Club, which is very interesting. And also shouts out to John Moxley, former Dean Ambrose from WWE. He wrestled this entire month. Almost every night, he wrestled his butt off. He hasn't wrestled this hard in a long time. And you take those restraints of, got to stay within the restraints of what we're doing as a television show. You got to stay healthy. And just go, you know what, John Moxley, go nuts. Do whatever you want for the next month. And he went hard.
Are you exaggerating when you say wrestled every month?
Every night. Almost every night.
Every night, sorry.
It was a pretty hectic schedule for the last 2 or 3 weeks. It would have every night.
I'm known to say I'm working every day, but it's, Monday through to Thursday and half a Friday.
Well, so, I don't know if John Moxley's half-assing it over there in Japan, but maybe he is for some of those tag matches, but it was a pretty amazing G1 tournament and easy to miss over a weekend like SummerSlam. But there's the past and the present. The future has got to be what happened at NXT TakeOver. Are you an NXT fan, Nashie? Do you watch it that much?
I struggle to fit it into my schedule. Yeah. Do you want to know my weekly schedule again?
Sure. Yeah, okay. Can you email it to me so I can print it out and put it on my wall?
At the moment, the chick who managed Paris Hilton's calendar in the mid-2000s is managing mine. And she can't keep up. Such is the busyness of my schedule at the moment. It's difficult to squeeze NXT in.
Sure.
But that's why I rely on my experts like yourself to tell me what's going on. And I know Velveteen Dream is tearing the show apart.
Yeah, he is the man. And that Paris Hilton's manager, if she wants some future talent, she should go to NXT because they did their takeover show the day before SummerSlam in Toronto in the same arena, packed just like SummerSlam. It's just as big a company now. It's insane.
No, I need Francesca. I speak badly of her, but she still manages the calendar.
No, sure. Okay, well, but maybe Francesca can split her time. Maybe she can work with you and get maybe you a match on NXT, Nashie, because that's something we've got to talk about. The truth is, Nashie's been up to no good and getting involved in wrestling matches. Top rope at triplem.com.au if you want to get involved in the conversation. What did you think of Super Wrestle Weekend with SummerSlam Hot Fest?
Hot and Summer Wrestle Park.
That's the one. And a shout out to all the people around the world listening in on this podcast. It's been great, hasn't it, Nashie?
Hello to our friends in the UK.
Ooh, the UK, a hotbed of wrestling.
We've got some friends in the UK, and I know one of our friends in the UK is the young lad that I met in the line to the NXT tent at Download.
Oh,
he's a big fan of the show.
Yeah, right. That'd be cool. You're at a rock festival, you're lining up to get to wrestling. That would be some interesting conversations to have.
Well, he was telling me about how a year ago, he's 16, a year ago he discovered Linkin Park.
Wow, really? Wow, what a bummer time to discover Linkin Park.
Yeah, I'm 29 thinking, is that possible?
He's like, oh, yes. Oh, no. That's a shame. Well, shout out to our friends in the UK. We're all very excited about deep diving in on The Fiend. It was such an amazing debut in SummerSlam. But it wasn't the hottest debut this week in professional wrestling. David Nash, talk to me, son. You got in a ring and you wrestled. What's going on, mate?
The Daniels Republic, who are an evil faction at AWA in Brisbane, they pushed me too far. Let's give you the story. So I'm the ring announcer for Australia Wrestling Alliance here in Brisbane.
Yep.
And normally I know my place and I don't get involved, but I accidentally mispronounced someone's name.
What do you mean you mispronounced their name?
So Roberto Pacino,
yeah,
I think
you.
I said Pacini.
Oh, and my God. Do you have a death wish?
Yeah. So when I went overseas, we came up with this storyline that they actually kidnapped me.
Oh,
and
really?
Sent me somewhere. So I was sending them photos from Greece, but we stylized it so it could have been Baghdad.
Right, okay. It could have been on a boat in Croatia listening to house music. Who knows? Right, so they claim they kidnapped you. It's clearly false. They're a bunch of scoundrels. They're lying. And you've come back and said, now, a question. Are you cheered in your company as the ring announcer? Are you loved by the crowd?
I'm loved.
Okay, right, you're beloved.
I am adored.
Wow, what's that feel like? I'm hated in PWA. Everyone hates my guts.
I'm loved. So when these members of the Daniels Republic were harassing me and terrorizing me, all I was trying to do was my earnest best ring announcing job.
Right.
They pushed me too far. And I was given an option that I couldn't seek retribution in a physical way.
Right.
As a ring announcer.
Sure.
The only way I could get retribution on the Daniels Republic was to nominate Homecoming Cup Battle Royal at Homecoming 6.
So you didn't just get involved in your first wrestling match. You got involved. You started in a Battle Royal. That's
a 20 man. Oh, there was a woman in there.
Okay.
Over the top Battle Royale, as we're called.
Wow. Now tell me, where was the point? At what point, how far back did you make the decision, I'm getting in the ring? I'm doing this. How far back did you decide that you were going to do this?
About 6 weeks ago.
Okay. And now, in this 6 weeks, have you just been like throwing those ropes up and down and flipping big tires over and like hammering, for some reason, sledgehammers into the same tire? Why they do that, I have no idea. But have you been doing all those things in the commercials?
Well, you see, it's kind of boring because I'm a natural.
And, oh, stop it. The natural.
So but the good news was that one of Australia's best tag teams, Gen Next, the team of Cedric Brave, who has trained, the reason his name is Brave, has trained at Black and Brave.
Oh, right. That's Seth Rollins' training center. Yes, very cool.
So very capable guy.
Wow, yeah, very
talented.
And
then
talented.
His tag team partner, Mitch Ryder, no relation to Zach.
Right. He just likes, he likes drinks backstage.
Yeah, they assured me that they were going to look after me in this Battle Royal. So it was a 20-man Battle Royal plus a woman.
Right.
Because it's 2019.
Yeah, and you wore makeup, right? You wore a bit of like a Michael Stipe, lead singer of REM style makeup.
No, I was going for Gerard Way, My Chemical Romance meets Marilyn Manson late 90s.
Wow, damn.
With the Triple M colors, wow, so black and orange.
You've really torn away the breastplate of your childhood there. Wow. Well, you just add some corn dreadlocks in while you're at it.
So I got to around the last 10, but then the Daniels Republic, the other members of the Daniels Republic, they were able to keep the Gen Next guys away from me who were protecting me. So then it came down to me and Roberto Pacino.
Oh, that guy. Did you say that right that time?
I don't know.
Okay. It got down to him. And what happened? I mean, you're talking about you're in the ring now, face to face with this guy.
Face to face with a guy. My first ever match.
Yep. What happened?
He throws up a kick.
Yeah.
I catch it.
Oh, no, you didn't. Actually, you did. I've seen the footage. It's amazing. Yeah.
And the rest of the footage can be found.
Oh, you're gonna get to see this footage. It's coming up. It's pretty exciting. Yeah. Oh, that's it. You're gonna tease it like that. You're gonna make people watch the video to see what happened. Is that what you're doing right now?
Yeah.
Oh wow, what a teaser! You got to tune into the video to see. Now, how did it feel being in a ring as a wrestler? Did it feel different as when you're in there as a ring announcer? Did you feel like a different being?
Well, I was able to be myself because I wasn't using a gimmick.
Right. Except for the makeup.
Except for the makeup. And I came out in footy shorts and footy socks.
Right, nice.
So I played football that day.
Right.
So not ideal recovery going from football.
You don't
to
even
then
need a,
doing
you don't even
slams.
Need a costume change. You just take your shirt off, right? And you're good to go.
Yeah. And then I threw my shirt into the crowd and then I politely asked him at intermission if I could have it back.
So is this a one and done deal?
I don't know yet. So the Daniels Republic have assured me that this is not the end because in this video, which our listeners, you will be able to access yourselves.
Oh, this is exciting.
I threw one of them out.
Oh, you eliminated one of them because you have to go over the top, right? Both feet touching the floor. And I know, I can't talk about it. People got to see the video because you do some cool stuff, man. You do some cool. Honestly, let me just talk personally. I'm a wrestling fan. I know that I'm a chubby dude. It's never in my life crossed my mind to want to get into a ring. I just don't have the time or the patience or the effort or the commitment or the work it takes to get there. And also you're putting yourself out there physically and emotionally in front of a crowd that's hungry and rabid, especially in a battle royale. People are going out of their minds. I would never be able to cross that line and do it. So I give you so much respect, Nashie, that you actually got in that ring and did something that so many people say, oh, I could do that, and they can't because it's hard, and you're a natural, clearly.
Well, thank you. And I know I was never going to get booed in that battle royal because there was a guy who speared a girl. At least I know I'm in that battle royal and I'm more popular than one person.
Well, that's equality for you right there. Jesus, the poor thing. I hope she's okay. Well, Nashie, congratulations on your debut in a battle royale. We're all very happy for Nashie here. And Chris is sending us love overseas on the Croatian boat. Yes, thank you. Golf clap for Nashie. Well, stick around after this. We're going to talk about the other big debut. It's time to finally unpack The Fiend. Top rope. Tell you what, Nashie, I'm pretty damn excited to see this footage again of you in a ring. How can people watch this when it's up?
Triple M socials.
Right, okay.
Or Google. You heard of Google?
Yeah, I've heard of Google.
Or, as my dad calls it, Google.
Google.
Google search. Triple M Nashie Wrestling. Or they can hit us, send us an email and we'll look after them.
Yeah, toprope@triplem.com.au. Send us an email. And if you watch it, send us some reviews. Give us what you think of Nashie's moves, because he does some pretty sweet stuff there. I think it's a pretty epic debut. Speaking of epic debuts, Nashie,
it's
time to really dig into this wrestling entertainment meat pie that is The Fiend. Oh boy, oh boy. This was one of the... Man, I was so sports entertained watching this at SummerSlam. Let's be honest. Going into this SummerSlam, everyone has been talking about Bray Wyatt. The Firefly Funhouse hit our screens, what, a couple months ago? How long is it now?
And we'd barely seen him until he made that return, and he was shutting off the lights, attacking legends.
Yeah.
With the mandible claw.
And now let me just give you a bit of background. For those of you who have no idea who Bray Wyatt is and The Fiend, Bray Wyatt was this Bayou cult leader type character, Hawaiian shirts, hats. He had alligator boots, and he would have this cult called the Wyatt Family, and he was a great speaker and a really great guy at cutting promos and getting into the heads.
He was a prophet in some way.
Yeah, he really was like a prophet, wasn't he? And he disappeared off television screens, and there was a gap in WWE for a while because he was one of the darker characters. He'd had his moments against The Undertaker at WrestleMania, kind of those supernatural characters. But when he returned as the Firefly Funhouse, all of us, you, me, Chris, Lockie, everyone involved in Top Rope, sat up straight at the Firefly Funhouse because we had never seen anything like this before. Bray Wyatt's out, he's smiling, he's doing the Muscle Man dance, there's all these puppets everywhere, and then every now and then he'd just kind of stare into the screen and look straight into your soul, and you'd just be, you know what was great about this entire process is he never gave you everything at once. He never just came out and said, I'm back, I'm Bray Wyatt, and now I'm The Fiend, and I'm all the... He built us up over months and months.
All you could do was speculate.
Yes. And people, what do we love in wrestling more as wrestling fans than speculating? That's all we do. That's what wrestling's about, is you get around with your mates and you speculate. And you can go back and listen to the other episodes of Top Rope, because this pretty much started when this podcast started. You go back and listen to those first couple episodes, and we're all just full of questions about what is going on with Bray Wyatt. What is this Pee Wee Herman-esque, you know, Mr. Rogers.
The Wiggles.
Yeah, the Wiggles. Like, this whole thing. It's hilarious. He's turning himself into a living meme. This guy is a genius. And then every now and then, it got dark. And as we got further in, it got darker and darker. And then you start to realize he's doing something here that I don't think has been done before in professional wrestling for a very, very long time. And that is, he's getting kids' attention. He's getting their attention with this Funhouse show, and then he's scaring the shit out of them, right? And something that always set me with Bray Wyatt was this father who watched his kid watch a wrestling show once a kid's like 11, right? Little Gilbert. He's a little 11-year-old kid.
Oh,
or whatever.
Gilbert's back. Okay.
Right? And he took notes on what his kid reacted to in wrestling. And the one thing that stuck with me is every time Bray Wyatt came on the screen, the kid went dead silent. He just stared at the screen, and after Bray was done talking, he turned to his dad and say, I don't like him, Daddy. There was he legitimately scares kids at the old character. Now that he is this superhuman, supernatural monster known as The Fiend that has a children's show, this is legit terrifying stuff. And I applaud WWE for having the balls to do this character, because this is legitimately scary stuff.
The Fiend is straight out of a horror movie.
Absolutely, absolutely. And look at it. That clown movie right now is the hottest thing in the world, and The Fiend is feeding off that love of that movie, right?
So the mandible claw.
Yes.
We mentioned that before. The mandible claw was used by Mankind.
Yes.
Mick Foley.
Yes. One of the scariest characters of all time. He used to come out with a mask and pull his own hair out. He was a wrestler who enjoyed the feeling of pain. Do you know how terrifying that is? That you have to fight someone that wants you to hurt them?
And then there's the mandible claw, the most unhygienic submission move in wrestling. I'm sure he's not sanitizing his hands. The mandible claw. So the mandible, for anyone that has not studied anatomy, like me.
Oh, hand up.
The mandible, I think the jaw.
Yeah.
That's your jawbone, the mandible.
Yeah.
So he's sticking his fingers inside your throat.
Yeah, so say he's like trying to like front palm your face, like put his hand in your face, but instead he just takes his two middle fingers and shoves them straight down your throat and clamps down on your bottom jaw, clamping down on your tongue and your jaw, and that essentially knocks you out. But the imagery of someone standing over someone and smothering them, literally smothering them in their mouth, is terrifying. And can you tell how fired up I am about this? Because SummerSlam, it all came to a head. We finally got to see The Fiend's entrance. We finally got to see him walk out to a ring. And man, was I hanging on like the edge of what they were going to do. What kind of music were they going to play? How was he going to come out? And when it started, they did firstly, before The Fiend came out, he was fighting Finn Balor. Right? And we all know Finn Balor has the alter ego as the demon. Did you notice he came out in all white? And they did that moment just before The Fiend entered, where they had a shot of Finn standing in the ring with a light directly behind his head. Almost looked like an angelic halo. Did you notice that?
Creating that contrast. It's straight out of a horror movie. It is.
Yeah. The imagery was just incredible in this whole thing. And Finn was dressed like a surrender flag. You knew he was done for when he came out in full white. He was in big trouble. But, you know, the lights go out, let him in on the big screen. And then this thing lights up. Through the smoke, you see this light. And you see this face with this light on it. And everyone goes, what is going on there? What is going on there? The music starts. He drops it. It's the lantern. But it's his head, the former character of Bray Wyatt, wrapped around the lantern, eyes sewn shut. Shout out to Stone Temple Pilots there. And also the mouth wide open with the light coming out of it. That was incredible, right?
It's his own form of a jack-o'-lantern,
yeah,
I guess.
It's his former self in a lantern. The whole, like, my words light the way, and now he's got a lantern with lights coming out of his former mouth. The imagery was insane. And he drops the lantern, and there is that mask, that Fiend mask we've been waiting to see.
Were you also getting those moments of, where have I seen this before? It felt fresh, but there are these little moments where you think, hang on a minute, this may be a reference to or paying homage to.
Here's how crazy and deep this gets, guys. 2017, they did a video on WWE Network called Superstar Ghost Stories. I've only ever seen one episode of this. I can't tell you if there was more, but the only episode I saw was Bray Wyatt. And it was Bray Wyatt standing out in a field telling the story of a man the size of a bear in the woods whose face was pale white, had long yellow dreadlock hair, and would terrorize people around the area with what cat-like yellow eyes. We look at The Fiend now. That is a description of the character that walked out. He said this years ago, Bray Wyatt. He's been planting stuff leading up to this character for years.
So if we are all creating gimmicks and characters based on things we think we've seen, I'm coming out as this girl Lexi that I follow on Instagram.
Is that the twerker dancer?
No, just a girl from Brisbane.
Oh, damn. No, I thought you meant the Instagram twerker Lexi Pantera. Yeah, shout out.
Nah, she's a dental nurse from Brisbane.
Look, I get so excited by this stuff because this is like Twin Peaks in a wrestling entrance, man. The amount of references to Mankind with the finisher. Did you notice after the match, he walked away and he stopped at the top of the ramp and looked over his shoulder, just like The Undertaker does in every match he's ever exited from being a winner. There is just all these references to the past of those iconic characters. And am I going too far to say this could potentially be the next Undertaker that WWE needs?
Yes. I think saying that he is the next Undertaker is unfair to The Fiend.
I agree. It should be the first Fiend, right? I know what you're saying.
So we talk about how it feels like it is something that has come directly from a horror movie or a ghost sighting from the man that has created The Fiend.
Mm.
Horror movies or horror scenes and wrestling have always been a perfect combination, and I don't know why.
Yeah. What is it? Yeah, what is it about the scary stuff? It is weird that wrestling does allow you to be a little bit supernatural, right? The Undertaker can make lightning appear and Mankind could be buried alive and crawl out of it. Kane with the flames. Yeah, all that stuff.
But you can't switch it the other way around. You're not going to see Michael Myers and Halloween putting Jamie Lee Curtis in a sharpshooter. Or
I would pay to see that. Are you kidding me? That'd be amazing. I'd have my money on Jamie Lee Curtis. Did you see her in True Lies? She's a badass. She would absolutely tear him up. Oh, man. I don't know. I want more. The Fiend is such an exciting idea, and I hope they hold off and then give us the Fiend in certain increments and not just... You know what? I want to see him go all the way to the title. I want happy Bray Wyatt from the Firefly Funhouse to come out and sign the contract in ring in his jumper with his nice little collar. Wouldn't that be lovely? All nice and shaking everyone's hands and then just shows up and eats you alive.
Mercy the Buzzard at the championship celebration party.
And oh, yeah.
Who was the bunny rabbit that...
Ramblin' Rabbit.
Ramblin' Rabbit.
God, it's genius. We salute you, Bray Wyatt. I've never been... I don't think I've been this sports entertained in a debut since Nakamura appeared in NXT and blew my mind. I mean, this is one of the all-time moments, and we could be witnessing the next icon of this business right here.
Is there a horror movie out there that we would like to see ingrained in wrestling in the future?
Ooh. My mind always goes to Saw when I think of horror movies.
Come out in a tricycle.
Holy cow, Nashie, you're onto something here. Imagine if he came out on a tricycle at WrestleMania, a giant. Oh, man, can you just think about what the Fiend's going to do at WrestleMania?
In front of 100,000 people.
Oh, my God, this is so exciting. I love it. Guys, it's just you and me. Chris isn't even here.
Guy.
It's been great, though. It's been good to sit and talk to you, Nashie. You know, Chris will be back next episode, and I'm sure he has plenty to say about The Fiend and Trish Stratus and Goldberg and all that stuff.
And Croatia.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Top rope at triplem.com.au if you want to get in touch with us. It's been a huge weekend of wrestling, and I don't know about you, Ben, but I just want more.
Hot wrestle party.
Thanks for listening, and remember, let me in.